If you were to track your pastor's preaching carefully, you'll find that there's probably about, I'm going to say 10. There's about 10 little what I call Bible formulas that you're going to hear from me on a pretty regular basis. These 10 formulas, I'm going to say, gets taught in some format here at the church probably every other year, at least every 2 years. I just believe that the Lord has put in His Word certain formulas. And when I say that, how many of you liked science? That you liked it in school, science. Math people, where's my math people at? Math was fun, wasn't it? How many of you hated math? See, now, come on. But, all right, those of you that hated math, did you like English? Yeah. Okay, now look, most of us girls. And I'm gonna explain one more time why men, for the most part, like math and women like English. Because men like something to just be the same with no exceptions. Okay, 1 + 1 = 2. But women like I always comes before E, except they always want a loophole. They want no absolutes. They want rules as long as there's loopholes and exceptions to the rules. Hey, man, come on now. Come on, men, help me out. I mean, I'm going to preach the truth here. Whether or not everybody gets mad and leaves, it's just I'm going to preach the truth here. Men just want it to be that's the way it is. Now, give me the rule, and then don't give me 15 exceptions to the rule. And almost every English rule, there's, okay, this is the way it is. Okay, fine, I got it. But, no. I don't want that. I just want to know the way it is. And so anyway, I don't know. I lost half the crowd right there. But formulas, I think the reason that we have science, don't forget this, folks, our great creator built in everything that man's tried to study and figure out all these years. God is a God of order. And God is a God who presents to us very specific formulas that work. And what I think the Christian life is, if you want to just simplify it, is going through the Bibles and figuring out the formulas and putting them into practice. Let me just give you, for instance, you want to have just a great personal Bible study that will be beneficial to you. And it's so simple. See, God's not hiding truth from us. If you would do a study on two words, here's the two words, blessed and cursed. And I mean from Genesis to Revelation, get your concordance. Say, preacher, do you have that information? Yes, but you know what? If I give it to you, it won't mean as much. Start in, just say, I'll just look up, I'll start my concordance and I'll do blessed first and I'll do three every morning in my morning devotion. I'll read my Bible, do my prayer time, and then I'll look up three verses and I'll write down in a tablet what God says that He will bless. You finish that up and then you compile a list. And then you look up the word cursed or curse. And you know what? God states very specifically, if you do this, you'll live under a curse. Cursed is the man that, cursed be they. And I've watched Christians that are living under the curse of God and don't even know it. Because they're doing something that God promised. Listen, if God promises He's going to curse something, don't you understand He's bound to His word? He's bound to His word. So we want to talk about bad God. Well, I don't know why God let that out. I don't know why God did that. But God said, if you do this, I will curse you. And then we do it, and then we want to get mad at God for not rewarding us. Come on, Christian life's not as hard as we want to make it out. If you'll study it out, hey, I did this early on. You know why? Watch this. I'm selfish. I wanted to be blessed. And you're more selfish than you want to admit. And God says, hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what I'll bless, what I'll curse. You just do it, and then you'll find out. No, He says, do this, and I'll bless you. Do this, and you'll live under a curse. I want to know what's on the blessing list. Every week of my life, in a systematic, planned, scheduled way, I participate in things that God has promised He will bless me for. A minute ago, folks, when we just give that missions offering, I just ching some blessings. Those of you who don't give to missions, you're robbing yourself. Okay, now I'm not even supposed to be teaching on this, but since you're all so quiet, I'm just going to stop here a minute here. All right, those of you who didn't bring your tithe check, you're living under a curse. You're living under a curse. Okay? And so don't come to my office telling me how bad God is. He's very good. He says, I'm going to give you a book that gives you all the information you need. There it is. Now, do the things that I've promised to bless, and I'll bless it. Don't do the things I've promised to curse, and you know what? I'm not saying you'll never have a problem because life has problems. You're never going to have a heartache because life, there's heartaches built in. But you're going to find out that God blesses your life, and your life will develop a spiritual Midas touch. And you know what? The things that you try to do, God comes with his grace and strengthens and uses and blesses. And so that's, for instance, a formula. Now, look at verse 7, Matthew 7, verse 7. Here's a formula I've taught you. Probably 2 years from now, I'll teach it again. Probably 2 years after that, I'll teach it again. Look at the first word. What is it? Now, this is what's so neat about this form. It makes it so easy to remember. In the word ask, spell it with me. Ready? A-S-K. Now, think about that. All you got to do is remember this one word, and you've got the formula in this verse. A stands for ask. S stands for seek. K stands for knock. Isn't it interesting how God built that little formula? Because he knows there's guys like me that if I don't have some little memory tool, I'm not going to remember it. So if I can remember the word ask, then you know what? I've been given a great secret to getting the things that I need and getting to the heart of God. And so let's look at this little formula in the 30 minutes or so that we have in our Sunday school hour that's left here. A-S-K, there it is. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For what's the next two words? Well, I like that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad it doesn't say for if educated people, you know, or I'd be in trouble. You know, I'm glad it doesn't say handsome people. Jeffrey Reiser would be in trouble. And it doesn't say, well, this race of people, or you have to be this tall, or you have to be this short. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, shall be open. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, folks, let me just say this. Every one of these words, if you were to do a little bit of a Greek word study, you would find that they are framed so that these things should be done over and over in a repeated fashion. It doesn't mean ask once and then you'll get it. It means ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock. Sometimes God wants to see how persistent we are. Now, let me give you the formula. Here it is, 1, 2, 3, ask. Young people, here's great advice. And by the way, I want to again say thank you. I've had the teenagers in our class all summer, and I just wanted to spend some time with you. You guys have been great, thank you. I promise you, if you would jot these things down and do them, you cannot understand what valuable information, what wisdom, not because Jerry Ross is speaking, but because it comes from the Word of God. Listen carefully. Listen to your preacher. Spend your life asking. I call this the virtue of a holy curiosity. The virtue of a holy curiosity. Now, I know this word ask, and we certainly can see in the context of it, is framed in the arena of prayer. But I have found out this. Asking shouldn't be just done when you need something from God. Asking should be something that you're willing to do towards people who know more than you know. Listen, spend your life asking. Remember when every kid, we've got like 3 granddaughters right now simultaneously going through the why phase. You know what I'm talking about? They ask you, Grandpa, where's Meemaw going? She's going to the store. Why? Because she needs to buy something. Why? Because we need to eat. Why? Because God made it such that if we don't eat, we die. Why? Listen, why don't I put a cartoon in and you watch the cartoon, all right? Here, sit in front of the TV. Just stare at it. It'll be fine, all right? And, you know, God, think about this. God created us with a natural of the virtue of a holy curiosity. And so many times, if we're not careful, I do understand there comes a point where you just got to preserve your sanity. But a lot of times, we don't treat our children's questions with very much respect. And we almost train them to quit asking. I don't want to ever stop asking. I asked a question in a public forum one time about why, from a preacher, and I wouldn't mention who it was, but he was having a question and answer session, and I asked him about something I didn't understand in the Bible. And I said, I don't understand why was that happening? And he said this. He said, why is not a good question to ask when studying the Bible? And by the way, in his defense, I think I understand what he was saying. Some things you just have to take by faith. But I'm going to tell you this. I've spent my life reading this Bible and saying, why is that there, Lord? And you know what I found out? If you get curious and God sees you're curious and God says he really wants to know and you keep asking and studying and asking and studying, he'll say, you know what? Nobody else has been that persistent. I'm going to show you something I haven't shown too many people. And folks, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. I know that this, I'm not trying to beat up on you, because some of our kids, you're still in the why phase, and I want to keep you there. But some of you hit about 14, 15, 16, and you never ask anybody anything because you think you know everything. And you're going to be the ones that's going to spend your life making a lot of foolish mistakes. God's given you parents and grandparents, and God's given you a church full of Christian people that are older than you that have great knowledge and wisdom. They do. And instead of going and making foolish mistakes, to sit down and get some good advice. I ask questions all the time. I'm hardly ever around a person older than me in the ministry that I don't try to pull them off the side and say, hey, let me ask you two or three quick questions. Brother Tom Williams, I tell this story, and I probably shouldn't tell this. You guys have done better. But Dad had Brother Tom Williams here. Brother Tom Williams wanted to have a question and answer session 6 o'clock before the evening service. I went home, typed out about a dozen, 14, 15 questions, put them in a box back there. They said, we've got a box in the foyer. If you want to ask Brother Williams a question, put them in there, and we'll give it to him. He stood up that night, and you know what he did? He answered 14 questions. And you know what? Every one of them was the ones I put in there. You know how many other people from Blessed Hope Baptist Church put one question in for Tom Williams on that night? And when I seen that, I thought, our church has a problem. Look right up here. I'm talking about you, sir. You, ma'am. You really don't think there's something you need to know? You really think you got it all? I got to have a private counseling session with Tom Williams, and while other folks, I guess, was listening. Now, I'm not saying that to beat up on you. I'm saying we have to be careful developing this attitude where we lose that natural, holy curiosity. Brother Dave Smith, I was with a week ago down at Lexington, Kentucky, and he's been in the camp ministry for years. And every time I'm down there preaching for him, and you know how many years I've been in the camp ministry? None. And yet, here Dave Smith, who's been in the camp ministry for 30 years, will set me down at the end of every week and say, Brother Jerry, I'd like to ask you some questions about the camp and what you've seen, and I want you. And I'm thinking, Brother Dave, you forgot more about camp than I do. Listen, you know why he's a great man? You know why he runs a successful camp? Because he'll ask questions. You know what he did? By the way, he's older than me, but many more years in the ministry. I took down my book on biblical masculinity and gave him a copy of it, and he said, hey, I want to talk to you. He scheduled about 30 minutes. Him and his wife sat down and said, we're at that age where we need to take some of the stuff we've done, and we need to get it in print, and we need to learn how to do it. Walk us through the process. You know what? When I wanted to start writing, you know what I did? I went and found men that had written, and I sat down, and I let them tutor me. And here's something else I did. I read 35 books on how to write books before I wrote a book. Did you hear what I said? You know why? Because, listen, here's what I'm saying, young people. Well, I'll say, hey, listen, I need you to do something. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you can learn. You can learn. If you're willing to ask questions, if you're willing to pick up the phone, you're willing to make a trip over and sit down with somebody, you can learn. No, some of you need to stop hiding behind this. Well, I just can't. I just can't do that. Well, the preacher wants me to do this. I don't know how to do that. Well, neither did any other person the first time they had to do it. What'd they do? They just, you know, went like this, hoping that, they went and asked somebody. They picked up the, watch this, takes humility. When you ask a question, you're admitting you don't know something. If I asked a question, people might not think I know everything. We already know you don't know everything. I'm just trying to get you to know that you don't know everything. Okay, all right. Are you getting this? My dad sat over there from 2005 to, he passed away in 2011. So he sat over there for 6 years as Pastor Emeritus, and you heard me say it. About once every 2 or 3 months, I'd say, Pastor Ross sitting over there for service, after service, some of you'd be wise to go over and sit down and ask him some questions. Guess what? You can't do it now. You can't do it now. Okay, how many of you got a mom and dad that's passed away, and you're like, boy, what I would give for 30 minutes to sit down and ask my mom and dad some questions? Come on, get your hands up. Isn't that the truth of it? Amen. So why aren't we doing it now? Okay? Kids, stop trying to talk mom and dad and going over and having a sleepover and sitting up all night talking about stupid. Why don't you have a sleepover at grandma's? Why don't you have a sleepover at grandma's? And why don't you just get a list down? Say, Grandma, talk to me about what things were like when you were a little girl. And if you were in my age in this time, what would you do? What decisions would you make? What would you do now that maybe you wish you'd have done when you were my age? Grandma, do you have some pictures I could look at with you? Tell me about your mom and dad. Tell me about how you lived. See, they're your link to an America that you don't even know. They're a link to an heritage that you have that you're going to grow up ignorant of if you don't talk to them about it. Okay? Wise is the young person that keeps this holy curiosity. I'm 50 years old and I feel like I'm a student. I'm never going to graduate from school because life is a school, and there's always somebody that knows something, and I want to know what they know, and so I'm going to ask. Are you getting that? Are you getting it? Boy, let's get that. A-S-K. You talk about a formula for success. S, seek. Spend your life seeking. We're close, so look, if you will, let's go over one book to Mark chapter number 7. Now, I've asked our church this question several times because I think that one of the most amazing truths is found in the first couple verses of Mark chapter 7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. Asking, the virtue of a holy curiosity. Watch this. Seeking, I believe, is the virtue of a holy attitude. A holy attitude. Mark chapter 7, look at it, verse 1 and 2. Then came together unto him the Pharisees. Are you thinking? So what group came to him? Pharisees. All right, and certain of the scribes. So we got the Pharisees and the scribes. They came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands. Look at the last three words. They found fault. Now here's the $100,000 question. Why did they find fault? Because they came looking for fault. Seek and ye shall. Now get this. What? Look right up here. Think about this. They came from Jerusalem, made a journey, and Jesus was teaching. If they'd have been looking for wisdom, they'd have found wisdom. If they were looking for salvation, they would have found it. If they were looking for truth, it was there. So they go and they sit through an entire service where Jesus is preaching and teaching, and they're looking the whole time. And what are they looking for? What are they looking for? Come on, church. What are they looking for? And guess what they found? Why? Because of the fact that they didn't wash their hands? No. Because they were going to find something. Because that's what they came. You're going to find. Look right up here. You're going to look. You're going to find what you look for in life. Okay, we got a wonderful church here. I think the vast majority of our people show up, and you come with an open Bible and an ink pen in your pocket and a heart's prayer. God, teach me something today. And you know what? If you come with that, God will teach you something every time you come. In every church, it seems like there's people that come, and you know what? They've come for one reason. From the time they pull in the parking lot till they pull out, they're looking for something to be upset about or something to be offended about. Or something to find fault in. Okay? And if you come for that reason, let me tell you what you're going to find at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Something wrong, something to gripe about, and something to find fault in. You know, you're going to decide what you're going to look for in life. And if you begin to, young people at your tender age, seek the right things, you'll find the right things. Let me give you a couple things to think about underneath that. Seek the good in people. Seek the good in people. When I was I was there so many years, I forget what year. I think the third year of my sophomore year of college. Year before, there was this guy that came to college, Oscar, and he was there a whole year, and I didn't like him. I didn't like him. I didn't like the way he walked. I didn't like the way he smiled. I didn't like the way he said, "Hey, brother," every time he passed me in the hallway. I didn't like the way he dressed. He was an oddball. He was just a little weird. I just didn't like the kid. I didn't have a 5-second conversation with him in a year, but I just decided I didn't like this kid. Next year I come back for my fourth year of my sophomore year. I'm not sure, but... Brother Howells designed a college that would not, you really basically was not going to be able to graduate in 4 years. Because he wasn't interested in having you there as a college student. He was there interested in having you there as slave labor. All right, so. So I walk in this next year and walk in the door to meet my roommates for the year, and guess who is in there? Holy Joe. He's the kind of guy that sat on the front row in chapel. He had a family Bible and a suit that was 2 sizes too small and a white shirt with a frayed neck and a tie that was tied wrong. And during announcement, he jumps up with the Bible screaming amen during announcements, you know. And I'm like, I don't like this guy. I walk in, and there he is. And so I walk back out. I go down the hallway. I go to the office where they assign rooms. I find Dave Carpenter, and I said, "Brother Carpenter, I need you to do me a favor. I haven't asked for a whole lot since I've been here, but I need to switch rooms." And he said, "Why?" And I'm trying to think of a spiritual reason, you know. "Okay, Brother Carpenter, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a guy in this room. I will kill him. I will kill him in his sleep if you leave me in there. I cannot do this." He says to me, walks over and passes my shoulder and says, "I think God's trying to expand your ministry, brother." Turns me around, shoves me back. By the way, parents, you could learn something right there. Do you hear me? You could learn something. Every time your kid comes about something that they don't like, and you know, this is what I told our daughters. "Oh, it sounds like you have an opportunity to apply Bible principles." Now, come on now. Come on now. So I walk back in this room and, "Hey, brother." And I thought, I am not going to be able to do this. All the beds were taken except the bunk that I was bunk mates with this guy. Drove me nuts. Watch this. Over the course of the next several weeks, we had a couple times to get to talk. And finally I said one day, "Tell me about yourself." Found out that he was from Minnesota. His name was Matt Millen, and he was the youngest of about 11 or 12 children. I'm looking for Cheryl. She's not here. 11 or 12 children, poor as a church mouse, raised in the type of home that was a bus kid, not a whole lot of good training, but loved the Lord. And I looked at that guy and got to know him a little bit and said, you know what, there's something here. There's something here. He's rough, but there's something here. So one morning we were getting up, and I said, hey, come here, man. I'm in the mirror tying my tie. I said, hey, grab your tie. I want to show you something. And showed him how to tie a tie. See, if you want to, you can spend your whole life. And by the way, it's really your insecurity that makes you hypercritical of people around you. Look right up here. Let me say it again. It isn't anything wrong with them. It really is your need to always be better than somebody else, which is pretty sad, pretty weak. Now, I like it when we just talk honest sometimes. I mean, it's just us. It's just us, okay? Just us folks here. So let's be honest. Some of you are so hypercritical of everybody. It is your insecurity. The only way you can feel here is to knock everybody else down here. But when you knock people down, you didn't elevate yourself. Matter of fact, now you're less. And I realized, you know what this kid needs? Watch this. Look right up here. You know, by the way, I wish I'd get some of our Blessed Hope Baptist school kids to realize you got a ministry right here. And it's not sitting around in your little clique laughing at bus kids. My daughters would do that. I'd have lit them up. You got an opportunity here. And you know, Heather Wilfong that stood up here and got married, okay? Where's Rachel at? Rachel in here? Rachel Gordon? She's teaching something. Listen, that girl wasn't sitting up there here. I'm going to tell you flat out, the main reason, I know a lot of people contributed, bus workers, thank you, I get all that. That Rachel Gordon went back and took a bus girl, didn't know how to dress, didn't know how to act, and loved her and brought her up and set her on the front row and took her to camp with her and was her bunk mate until God changed that girl's heart, and now she's married a young preacher. What I'm saying is, you want to spend the rest of your life with this little snobbish, we're cool, everybody else isn't attitude? You make me sick. I can't stand being around people like that. I'm just flat telling you. Walk around, look down your nose at everybody. Everybody's less than you. Everybody's whatever. Why don't you look for an opportunity? Saturday mornings, he's sleeping in. I say, Matt, you got a ministry? Well, I don't really know what to do. I said, why don't you get on my bus route? I don't have a car. Well, you can ride up with me. I don't have money for lunch. I'll buy you lunch. You know who was the best man in my wedding? Look right up here. You know who the best man in my wedding was? Matt Millen. What I'm saying is, you're going to find what you look for. I want to train our young people to look at some little girl comes in here and she's got green hair on this side and pink hair on this side, and she's 15 and she's already got a tattoo and she's got piercings a lot more than she should. Listen, you can look at it two ways. You can sit there and scoff and look and roll your eyes, or you can understand that that hair and that jewelry and that tattoo is this. Help. Help. Somebody help me. I don't even know what to do. I've gone here, and I didn't find what was real, and I've tried this, I didn't find what was real, and I've tried this, and I didn't. Adults, it's not just kids that do this. Biggest challenge that I'm facing, I'm going to be honest with Blessed Hope, biggest challenge I'm facing with bringing in new families and new converts is getting some of you all to break out of your little group and go over and learn their name and take them to your homes to eat. And look, yeah, but Brother Jerry, they're this and they're this, and yeah, and they weren't raised in church and they don't know any better. Why don't you just love them? Why don't you just love them? Amen. And some of you are great about doing that. Thank you. And others of you need to wake up and get out of your own little life, us four no more mentality, and reach out across the aisle and say, would you like to sit with me? My name's such and such. This is my husband. What's your kid's name? What do you do during the week? Let's get together this week. Let's go out and eat. That will do more. Am I right, preacher? Help me here. That would do more to build Blessed Hope Baptist Church than every program I can come up with and every visitation program I can come up with. That'd do more than anything. But it costs something, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
You have to look around and find somebody to love them. And you know, here's what I think. If everybody decides to do that, it's not like any one family have to do it, 20 families. I think there's enough people around here, we can keep up on folks pretty good. Seek the good. Seek the good in people, seek the good in every situation. Curtis Hudson used to say, those who wish to sing always find a song. If you want to sing, you can find a song. If you want to grumble, you'll find something to grumble about. Seek what Christ sought, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You get busy seeking what Jesus came to seek, and you know what? You're going to be a pretty happy person, the virtue of a holy attitude. I got 5 minutes left. Here we go. Knock. Spend your life knocking. Spend your life knocking. The virtue of a holy persistence. If you want an illustration of this, we don't have time to go to it, but Mark chapter 2. 4 men packed one of their buddies who couldn't walk to Jesus. If we can get him to Jesus, he'll get healed. So they go to his house. By the way, this takes a little effort, church. By the way, thank you, bus workers. You guys have been my heroes this summer. I don't know if we've had a hotter summer. They're saying now for probably 75, 80 years since we've had this hot of a summer. Thank you for being faithful on your bus rounds. Thank you so much. By the way, I stood at the back door and watched two of the buses unload, and I got to brag on you young people riding these buses. Two packed buses I watched. In the middle of the summer, it's supposed to get about 100 degrees today. I think humidity is crazy already. And I'm thinking, God bless these young people. They're not coming for a piece of bubble gum. They're coming because they love Jesus, because there ain't no piece of bubble gum on earth that tastes good enough to put me on a bus when it's 100 degrees. So it's not bubble gum getting you on here. Thank you for loving Jesus enough to be here. I mean that. God bless you. But you know what this is? Knocking. Knocking. Persistent knocking. This is how we all started soul winning. Remember when you were scared half to death? You'd walk up. Nobody's home. That was me. I was praying to God, oh God, may nobody be home on this street. I just want to leave a track at a door, you know.
I did it before you.
I guess we all start that way. We're so scared. And now we learn the Baptist knock, you know, buddy. I don't care if they're dead in there. They're going to come to the door. You know? Amen. Bus worker knock, right? Every bus worker, if you feel, really, seriously, go to a bus worker or any soul winner and feel right there and there's a callus. Everybody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to have one of those calluses right there. Amen. All right? Knocking. What's that mean? You just knock. And well, the door didn't open. Here's something I hear over and over from young preachers. Well, God, I thought God called me in a ministry. I thought God wanted me to start this church. I thought God wanted me to go here, mission field. But it's, you know, it just seems like God shut the door. And I just look at him. Okay. But okay then. Okay. Well, why aren't you going? Well, I just told you God shut the door. So, did he call you? Yeah. So you've come to a shut door. Yes. Here? Yeah. Here's an idea. Maybe God put that shut door because he wants to see if you'll do this. Look, watch this. The virtue of the virtue of a holy persistence. Now look right up here. Bo Eichelman didn't stay in the bus ministry for what, 130 years? Because he didn't run into some obstacles. Charles English has not been a deacon here in this church for, we'll celebrate, 40 years. This May, because he didn't run into some closed doors, shut doors. This building doesn't stand here today because all the doors were swinging on well-oiled hinges. That building's not sitting out there because it was an easy path and we didn't walk, show up. Those buses aren't running because all the doors, we just walked up and breathed on them and they flew open. God sometimes puts a closed door. And why did he put that? He wants you to learn what it is to stand there and knock until he opens it.
Wow.
Jeff Brady called me. How many of you know Jeff? You know, we went down, helped him knock on doors at church in Farmington there. He called me the summer after we got the church started. They had a building they wanted to get a hold of to move their church into. It was wonderful. And so he went and looked at the building, and he was all excited, and he called and said, would you please pray about this building, us be able to get this building? I said, I will. Call and let me know what's happened. So he had a meeting scheduled. He went to the meeting. He came back, and he called me, and he said, Brother Jerry, they are not allowed, because of the way it was set up, I don't understand it all, but they were not allowed to rent that building out for income, rent it out for income. So he called me back and he said, Brother Jerry, it's a perfect situation, perfect building, but the paperwork's all goofy, so they don't allow us. They're not allowed to rent it out and have money coming in from rental or something like that. And I said, okay. He said, so the Lord shut the door on that, so pray about something else. And I usually don't say this when people say that, but I just felt provoked. I said, Brother Jeff, listen, sometimes God shuts the door because the door is shut. And by the way, folks, you understand the Bible says there's a door that God shuts and no man can open. And I understand the whole idea. But sometimes God just wants us to learn some persistence. And I said this. I said, Brother Jeff, maybe God shut that door because he wants you to knock harder. And I didn't even know why I said it. A week later, he calls me back. I said, Brother Jerry, I couldn't get that out of my head. I called the guy back. I said, let me have one more meeting with you. And so he met with this guy, and he said, I don't know why I'm back here. You gave me an answer. I realized you can't rent it for income. But is there anything we can do? I don't know why I just felt like I need to come back and talk to you one more time. And the guy finally looked at him and said, you know what? I've been thinking about this. We can't rent it from income, but there's no stipulation in the contract that says we can't let you meet there for nothing. So I'll call my boss, and if we can get this clear, we'll let you meet there for the next 2 years and we won't charge you anything. And Brother Jeff said, if I hadn't have gone back, listen, I wonder how many times we stop, Brother Jeff, that close. We're just that close. And God's getting ready to swing the door open, and you know what? We walk away, and we're going to get to heaven, and God's going to say, you know, if you'd have knocked two more times, I was getting ready to kick that thing open for you. Folks, it's not just, must not be God's will. Stand there and knock. Some of you young people going to Bible college, you know what you're going to learn? Sister Katie, I've been praying for you. Still trying to figure out how to keep you here. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to have to learn to pray. I know you do now, but it's going to be a whole new thing. And you're going to be tested. And you're going to come to closed doors. And I know you're going to want to call mom and dad, and mom and dad wants you to call. Where are they at? Are they in here? But they're not in church anymore. You really do need to pray. But, you know, God sometimes puts you in situations where he's just going to make you learn some things. Mm-hmm. Where you're just gonna have to stand there and say, okay, God, it looks like it's just me and you. Is this verse real? God, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep asking until I get an answer. God, I'm going to keep seeking until I find what I need. I'm going to keep knocking until this thing comes open. And if you get some of that in you, you're going to be just fine. You're going to accomplish some wonderful things for the Lord. If you don't have these virtues, you're going nowhere as far as accomplishing anything for God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity just to meet and to chat, to teach the Word of God. May our hearts be stirred. Help us, Lord. That one little word, just to keep it somewhere in our minds during difficult times, pull it out. ASK, I can remember this. Ask, seek, and knock. Is there a question I need to ask somebody? Is there something that I need to see differently, seek out differently in this situation or this person? Is there some test here where I need to stand here and knock for a while? And God just wants to see that I'm serious, and God wants to see that I'm persistent. Help us, Lord, to learn these sacred virtues. Bless the service that will follow in Jesus' name. Amen.